like the story of the prodigal son? He thought he was going to come back and end up being at the back of the line. But the father put him on the front of the line. In fact, this dude was, he was pretty much the line. You know what I'm saying? The line started from him. Amen? He was the reason why a line ended up happening. Ah, my God, come on. Somebody get that. When the father receives you, he puts you in the front. But I like to think that we're all in the front. Ain't nobody behind you except those who don't know the Father. Right? If you know the Father, you're in the front of the line. Come on, hashtag that. What are you waiting on? I love Jesus, and I hope that I can sneeze on somebody today and infect you with this love of Jesus that I have inside of me. That's my prayer tonight. And not only that, but there's a message that God just gave me, simple message. Anybody know the story of David and Goliath? We all should know it. Elon, you remember David and Goliath? All right, what do you remember from David and Goliath? Briefly. I put you on the spot. It's okay, Papo. But if you're looking in, okay, we'll save that, Papo. But he knows Davey. Davey, you remember the thing show? What's that show? Davey and Goliath. What show was that from? Smile of a Child. Anybody watch Smile of a Child TBN thing? Let your kids watch that. Don't let them watch Disney Channel. Let them watch Smile of a Child. There's some good kid shows there that'll help our youngins to know who Jesus is at an early age. We ain't had that liberty as a child growing up, you know? But Jesus is good, and the story is in 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Today we're going to learn, well, this evening we're going to learn how we can chop off the head of unforgiveness. Chopping off the head of unforgiveness. All right? Now, I'm going to use this story, and I'm going to try to illustrate it and use it as an illustration as David, of course, being the child of God, right? And he represents the child of God, all right? And David is you in the story. And Goliath represent that unforgiven spirit. Some of you guys know where I'm going. You see? And sometimes this unforgiveness thing, guys, I'm going to be really brief in the sermon, but yet we're going to open it up for some questions, because that's how I want to make. I want this to be very informative tonight, that you're going to leave knowing some practical steps how you can really let this thing go. Okay? It's not going to be a preachy, preachy, preachy type of thing. This morning I preached at you guys. I'm not going to do that tonight. All right? We're going to be dialoguing. All right? It's okay? We all right? Say I'm good. I need all Miles saying that. Say I'm good. I'm looking at everybody right now. Say I'm good. All right, cool. But so David, Goliath is symbolic for this unforgiving thing that we all struggle with. Notice I said we all. I don't care if you're a bishop. I don't care if you're the president of the United States. I don't care if you are whoever, name it. But you struggle in this area. And until you... to the rest of your living, your existence, you will have some struggles in that area. But there are still some principles that God placed, set in place that can assist us in dealing with this thing. And these are, we were out early in the diner. We were talking about how we don't really address this topic of forgiveness on the pulpit. We don't hear that much, even in Sunday school. They don't really have too many sections where we speak on how do you deal with unforgiveness. We just hear it, all right. We hear the Matthew passage, and we hear certain other Luke passages that say, if you don't forgive, my Father can't forgive you. But okay, that sounds good in theory. But how does that look? How does it look to really, when somebody took something from you and you feel like you have the right, again, to say, listen, I'm an ex, you're never going to be my friend ever again. I'm cutting you off. You know what I'm saying? I can't rock with you no more. And we really think that we had the right because that offense had taken place. But in all actuality, as a Christian, you have no right. Maybe as an unbeliever. You know what I'm saying? Because your rules is your rules. You make up your own rules. But according to the scripture, we have no right. Why? Because we received that same thing that God is expecting us to do. We receive forgiveness in full. The reason you made it to this thing we call Christianity, the reason you're able to walk out the implications of the gospel is because Jesus Christ died for your sins. straight up. And he forgave you. Me. So this is the idea, and I want you to get this in your head. We were the ones who violated God's law. It was a perfect law. God had his standard. We fell short of this standard. All right? And the Bible says, through one man, sin came into the world. You know what I'm saying? And you would think, and everyone had to die because of that one sin. Everyone became sinners because of that one sin that came into the world. But the craziness is that you may think that's unjust. That's not fair. I wasn't there. But yet, the Bible continues to say that through one man, life came to the world. You know what I'm saying? So would you say that's fair too? You know what I mean? That's just the way it was written. But those who believe in the Son receive that life. You know what I'm saying? So we the ones who offended God. So God said, listen, being that you broke this law, I'm not going to take it out on you. I'm going to take it out on my Son. The scripture says in Isaiah that it pleased the Father that he crushed his Son for the sake of you. That God literally killed Jesus for you. His only Son, his only unique, special, unique, beautiful, awesome Son that he was never separated from. He ended up becoming separated from his Son because of you. And we all know the scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. So it's a given thing. So we now love God so much that we are now willing to give or forgive. Make sense? Because when you're forgiving, you're giving something away. You're pardoning. You're saying, listen, it's cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to hold on to this no more or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, let's go to the story. The story's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And a lot of us know this story. I'm going to break it down. I'm going to give you a quick synopsis of the story. All right? So the quick synopsis of the story, I'm going to highlight a scripture. But verse 26 down, we're going to be highlighting some stuff there. But here's the backdrop. So the children of Israel were being harassed, if you will, by a giant that was in the land. 9 feet tall, this strong giant. He was from Gath, and all of these dudes were big, huge, humongous guys. And he was like, he came, and he was like, Goliath, that's what I'm talking about. Goliath came, he said, listen, he was an opposing enemy of the children of God. What he did, he was a daring type of person too. He's like, listen, I dare anybody to come. You know how you had those bullies in school? Like, I dare you say something. Give me this, give me that, or whatever. I dare you. So he was a daring spirit. It was a daring thing. Like, listen, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to budge. In fact, he's like, listen, I want you to send one of your guys to come fight me. Nobody wanted to fight Goliath. Nobody wanted to take him on. Why? Because he was intimidating. He was a giant. He was huge. He was humongous. Nobody wanted to fight Goliath. The Bible said that what happened was David's father had sent him to give his brothers some lunch, all right? His brothers, mind you, were over here, and they were one of the warriors out there, and they didn't want to fight this guy either. Even Saul, the king of Israel at the time, he didn't want to fight Goliath either. He was afraid. They had the king. If the king is shook, then you know that this guy was a bad guy. So what happened was David's father sent him, listen, my sons are out there, go send them, go get them something to eat. So as David is bringing the lunch for his brothers, he hear this guy harassing the people of God. He hear this guy saying, listen, send all, you guys are whack, you guys are punks, you guys are ain't nothing. You know what I'm saying? In fact, bring somebody my way so I could eat them up. I could eat them alive, pretty much. A daring spirit. A defiant spirit was trying. He claimed to be immovable. Ain't nobody could take me out. David heard this and like, hold on, who's this dude? Who's this guy? And David did not look at the dude's size. His only concern was that this guy is trying to come against the people of God. And not only was he trying to come against the people of God, He was trying to come against my God. He was trying to defame my God. He was trying to humiliate my God. That's what David was concerned about, God's glory. Amen. And I want to take, I want you to picture that in your mind, that this Goliath is representative. It represents that unforgiven spirit. And what that unforgiveness does, it wants to take the place of God in your life. It wants to dethrone the God that you serve so you can serve him. Does that make sense? He's trying to, whatever your firm convictions are, and you love Jesus, and you're saying, God, whatever you want me to do, I will do. You want me to do this, that, and the third. And what that giant does, it comes in your way and say, I dare you try to live holy. I dare you try to live out what the Bible tells you to live out. I dare you. And it becomes intimidated because, like, man, I gotta come against this. That's what it's symbolic for. And what David, what you got to hear, you can't hear those words that he's saying and allow that to be the final say-so, because you got to understand that the power that God placed inside of you is much power than what this guy has. The power that God placed inside of you is much power than any opposing spirit or opposing theory. Amen, Leglies. So David heard different. Everybody was hearing fear. David was hearing faith. David was hearing, what? Yo, I'm Gucci. Let's get it. That's what David was on. He's like, listen, let's do it. But David wasn't a punk, because David had his fear of warfare. You know what I'm saying? He had a share of warfare. You know what I'm saying? With the lions and the tigers and bears, oh my. He had those moments, but as he was ministering unto God. So David was built up in his spirit. He was built up for this moment. All of those mini moments was preparing him for this biggie moment. Amen? So he looked at this defiant spirit. He's like, yo, who this guy? And he said, listen, you come to me with all these swords and all this crazy stuff. You know what I'm saying? But I come to you in the name of the Lord. So David has some little rocks. What you gonna do with some rocks? What you doing with these little rocks? He picked up two pebbles, five pebbles. You know what I'm saying? He stood on the power of God, not on his own power. Because he knew that with that, what is a rock gonna do to this giant? So he had, the only thing he knew he had, his little slingshot. And he threw that thing at him. Bonk. Knocked him down. You know what I'm saying? He ain't take two. It took just one blow. Knocked him down. We all know the story. But what gave David the ability to do that? He knew who he was in God. He knew that, listen, you have to understand that you cannot rely on self to get by in this Christian walk. You cannot rely on your ideologies, what you deem to be, what you think is right. What you think makes sense, because God's logic is illogical to us. Sometimes God doesn't make sense. What? Forgive this brother after he did this to me, after she did that to me, and I still see the scars of what they did to me? Really? You want me to let that go? Would you let it go? And God says yes. I was just trying to hear that answer, God. You see what I'm saying? But David, see, the first thing David did, and this is number one, the first thing he did, he confronted this thing. He confronted it. He didn't let it be something that was just, you know, just igging him without saying anything about it. It wasn't ignoring him. It wasn't just agitating him. It was bothering him to the point that he had to say something about it. Like, who are you? So that's the number one. When you see this unforgiveness trying to attach your life, you got to address it. No. You have no place here. Why? Because I'm free. And whenever unforgiveness want to come, it's trying to enslave you. And you put yourself under bondage again. So you don't want that. We don't need that. Say, I don't need that. So that's number one. Then the next thing he did, after he confronted, he took a blow. Say, I'm going to take a blow. He took a blow. Meaning he swung at that thing. So he was ready to fight. Because it gradually went from talking about it. Wake up. It took from talking about it to now we're ready to, let's go in it. Let's go in now. You see what I'm saying? And that's what we need. We need more people ready to fight for this thing, fight against this thing. Really, guys, really, listen. The Bible said, I'm telling you, in Matthew 18, verse 35, it says that my Father will he said, this is what my Father will do to you if you don't forgive your brother from your heart. And what God the Father will do to you if you don't forgive from the heart, he will cast you away. You have no place with God if you don't forgive from your heart. That's a harsh saying. And Jesus was talking to his people. He wasn't talking to the unbeliever. Okay? The unbeliever don't have the ability to forgive from the heart. You do. So the scripture applies to us. And we think we're safe and everything is, you know, as long as I come to church, pay my tithe, and, you know, I sing songs and listen to the word and read my Bible, I'm good. No. This thing takes work. This thing takes you working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? So that's the next thing. He took the blow, and the last thing was he took the Goliath's sword. I got a tongue twister thing. How do you say it? Sword. And he chopped him off. He chopped his head off with his own sword. So the thing that the enemy is trying to do to you, he's trying to kill you with his weaponry. But you take his weaponry and you kill him. You take what he's trying to use against you and you chop him with it. David chopped his head off. David did, because this is the message in that little thing. Because David could have thought after he threw the stone in the dude's head that he was dead. He was gone. Because it looked like he was gone. So David could have probably assumed that, you know what, the dude he's gone. I knocked him out. Jesus, thank you, Lord. He probably thought he could, but he's like, you know, just to make sure. It's kind of like what, you know, they do a drive-by, they shoot you, they make sure, hold on, let's go, do more, two more shots, blah, blah, blah. You see? Just to make sure that this guy does not come back again, you cut the head off. Quick illustration. If you have a toilet paper in your pocket somewhere, you may not, but well, you remember this. I need you to go to the bathroom when you get a chance. You may do that tonight, okay? Splunk nine. All right, when you go to the bathroom, take a sheet of the toilet sheet, right? And I need you to write down the offense that happened. Write down, you know, where they violated you or when they violated or who violated you. Because some of us don't even remember who, but we just remember when. Or we remember, sometimes it just bugged out. That's what unforgiveness does. It confuses everything. But you just need to write that down. And what you do with that paper, you flush it. First, you got to throw it in. Because some of us might try to trick ourselves. And it's like, I flush it. No, you still got it in your hand, homie. Take it, you flush it. I mean, you throw it in the thing, and you flush it. Now, the next time you bring up that offense, it's as if you're trying to go in that sewage or wherever it's at, where all the fatra is, to try to bring it back up. Who want to do that? So that's what letting it go really it means. You take that little offense, and the reason I say little, because in comparison to what we have done to God, come on, our thing is really minor. Whatever offense we deal with in life is minor. Amen? So it's 9:15. That's 9:15? Okay. So I want to open up for some questions real quick, because we want to create some kind of dialogue, okay? Please, I need people to start throwing some questions. Can I have somebody who can have a microphone and just walk to people? All right, so, but it has to be in the context of forgiveness, okay? Anybody ready to play this game? Look at Aiden. Everybody good? We good? Why we get so tense in church? We get real serious. arch our backs like this. We good. Jesus is good. Hallelujah. All right, so we want to take some questions concerning, if you have any questions in your mind concerning how you're able to let it go, like something practically, how can you really give an example, give something or whatever, and we're going to help you to try to get some answers. Amen? We good? Go ahead. Evelyn. Come pick Evelyn. Say your name and where you're from.
Hi. My name is Evelyn. I'm from Brooklyn. Peniel Church.
Peniel?
Christian Missionary Alliance. Okay, so say I flush it, right? Mm-hmm. That's cool. But I'm going to see Shorty's face. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be in, like, say I did forgive you, but I still remember. So did I really let it go? Like, I'm not going to press you about it. I'm not going to hold nothing. I'm going to give you $2, all that. But
why only $2, though? Like, come on.
Lock on that, son. Dollar man, whatever. But, like, okay, yes, I forgave you. I'm not going into the sewage just to dig up the old stuff because it doesn't matter to me anymore. But I got to see you. And you probably don't even understand the offense that you made against me. And you probably might do it again. Mm. And I got to flush another toilet. I'm not doing that.
Like, okay.
How do I, you know?
How do I what?
How do I move forward? Mm-hmm. I'm not offended anymore. But if the person doesn't know that they've offended me, they might do it again. So when do I tell them you was wrong?
I love that question. Give it up for her, guys. Come on. Now, you're gonna get an answer that's gonna really help you. Okay? And it's gonna pretty much be a self-examination on your end. Okay. Now, I heard something in your statement that they didn't know what they have done to me. That's the thing. If they don't know, then they think they're good. You see, if they didn't know that they did that, and sometimes we think that they should know, right, Evelyn? Sometimes you're like, why, how you not know? You literally smacked me in my face. You think I'm not going to be offended by that? You see what I'm saying? It'd be something, sometimes something simple as that. It could be like a common sense, but they say common sense is not really common to everyone, right? So that's where it starts. Now, I really have some stuff, some let it go stuff that I want to give you guys that's really going to help you and assist you. Talk to me later and we'll talk about that. But one of the points in my forgiveness campaign is becoming an initiator of forgiveness. We have ABCs of forgiveness. A, acknowledge that forgiveness need to take place. B, become an initiator of forgiveness. And C, commit to loving again. The B part is where we have an issue, because we expect that individual to come to me. Right? Like, you should come to me and tell me that you're sorry. Da, 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 da. And it's kind of like my wife says, it's enmeshment. The word is enmeshment. E-enmeshment. How you spell it, babe? E-N-M-E-S-H. Enmeshment. And what that means is, it's like, say, Betty would say hi to me every Sunday morning at 11:15. 11:20 goes by on this one particular Sunday. She didn't say hi. What's wrong with Betty? She's wilding. You start talking. Yo, you seen Betty? I don't know why she. You see? The enmeshment part is this. You expect her to know her role at this specific time when she just was doing it randomly and it just so happened to be at the specific time. Whatever. I don't know if that illustration helps. You see? That's enmeshment, because we expect something that the person probably had no clue. You see? So what I need to do, Betty, what happened? 11:15 passed. What's going on? You see, what I need to do, I come to her before it gets crazy, before it starts, because we'll get offended after some time, or somebody sit in your seat. I sit here every Sunday. Why did the person sit in my seat this time? They should know that this is my seat. They see me every day. I got, you know, da da. You see? No, you highlight the person. Yeah, you're not be sitting here, right? Nah, you know, I'm being fooling. I'm being fooling. But you see my point? We have to not assume. You know what I'm saying? That the person is real. Or maybe it is, in fact, an issue that the person has. And they did something really. They literally just. Now, this is your devoir. You come to the person. Yo, listen. Da-da-da-da-da, whatever the issue is. I need to know what happened. Where did it go wrong? We were cool at one point. I mean, I was giving you $2 every day. You know what I'm saying? So, really, we have to be the ones that initiate it. Because what happened was, when we offended God, God didn't wait for us, and that's where that comes from. God didn't wait for us to say, God, I'm sorry, come to me, help me. No. The Bible says, while we were sinners, Christ died. While we offended God, while we were boxing with God, that's when he sent his son. In other words, he's like, I don't want to fight with you. No, because your arms literally are too short to box with me anyway. So I don't want to fight with you. I want to save you. I want to love you. So that's what it is. And let me tell you something about forgiveness, and I need you guys to hear this well. The word in the Matthew 18 context of forgiveness, it literally means to make the relationship better than where it was before. It's your job to make the relationship better than where it was before. That hurts. Does that apply to everything or everyone? Maybe not. But there's certain relationships that God placed in your life that are worth, you know, sacrificing, worth humbling yourself. That help a little bit, Evelyn? You sure? Emily, sure? Okay, thank you. Oh, see, you're smart. You're wise. You studying psychology? Okay, you need to. All right, any other questions? Come on, stop it, Evelyn. Yo, she put up her hand again.
Your ABCs.
Stand up. Your name and where you come from.
With your ABCs of forgiveness, the first one you said acknowledge. Now there's a fine line between. Okay, what do you mean by acknowledge? How?
Okay. Yeah. Good question. I think one of the AA meetings they talk about that too. First of all, an alcoholic will never know he's alcoholic unless he knows he's an alcoholic, unless he acknowledges him having this disease. Because you can be a person. All right, this is acknowledging, knowing that it's a problem, knowing that this thing's eating up my, is it the kidney or liver? The liver. It's eating up my liver, and I don't want to die like this. Or I can't really, when I'm around people, they smell that alcohol out of my pores and stuff. You see what I'm saying? So that's acknowledging that it's an issue. It's a problem. So that's what, in the same way, with, okay, you want to say?
Yeah, I
want
to say.
Give it a mic.
There's a difference between acknowledgement and then, like, dwelling. Like, isn't there? You want the person to say, okay, this is a problem. I need to fix it. Not, this is a problem. Oh, my gosh, I'm the problem. Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do?
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
I love that. Exactly. It's kind of like when we acknowledge the presence of God in the sanctuary, what do you do then? You see? This should be a response to his presence, acknowledging that he's here. So it's never just a moment, okay, he's here, and just, you just, because that's what happens sometimes. You know, the grace is in the building, and we just miss it. Jacob, he was sleeping on a rock, and the whole story pretty much, he woke up out of his sleep, and he was like, yo, hold on, God was here, and I didn't even know it. He said, God was here, and I knew it not. You see what I'm saying? So that's the thing. With unforgiveness, it's there. And you need to know that it's there. And knowing that it's there, you have to do something, because God doesn't want that for you. He don't want you dwelling or sitting or embracing or even harboring unforgiveness. You see? Because it's going to kill you. It's going to enslave you. And God can't really have all of you. And that's what God is after. God is after all of you. When God wants, when God asking for you to come to Jesus or come to me, he's not asking just for this part of you or this portion. You know, in the Bible, when this priest would give sacrifices, God never just consumed half of the sacrifice. He consumed the whole thing. You see what I'm saying? He consumed the whole sacrifice. In the same way, you need to acknowledge this thing here, and you have to address it appropriately. You know what I'm saying? It has to bother you. That's the thing. So, is we good? You sure? All right, cool. Anybody else? Okay, we have another one here. Evelyn remind me of Jane so bad. You.
Okay, to piggyback on what you said this morning, you said that we were to echo what God did to us. Mm-hmm. So to me, I was thinking with forgiveness is a matter of restoration. You're supposed to restore the relationship.
Hold on. I want you to back up a little bit. Say that phrase one more time and explain what that means to you. What God has already done. Good. Echo.
Oh, because God forgave us. Mm-hmm. We should forgive others. It shouldn't be an issue to do that.
Perfect.
But with forgiveness, there's a point where the relationship should be restored. But at what point, for your own peace, let's say this person offends you over and over and over again, at what point do you keep them at arm's length? Like, you don't hold it against them, but obviously for my own peace, yeah. I know better, like, okay, this is not going to work. So at what point?
We get that question all the time, and that's a very interesting question. But, all right, now, this is the thing. God wants us, within God's design for relationship is to iron sharpen iron. It's to be, you know, you help me, I help you, you love me. And sometimes that person may not love me back, but that's a requirement. Loving is loving. Ain't no compromising that. But there's certain things that in a situation like that, you have to look at it as, yo, listen, I'm not going to be unwise and take this abuse, because pretty much it's going to be an abuse. It's an abusive type of situation, because the person is pretty much constantly bringing hurt to the relationship, hurt to the situation, and that's not healthy. I mean, no one tells you to stay in a relationship when you're being hurt. When you're constantly being hurt, you're constantly being hurt. No one should, and this is the problem. We need to, the way you stop the hurt is when you speak. When you tell the person, yo, you hurt me. Hear what I'm saying? And that's going to now inform the individual, maybe they're hurting you and they don't know that they're hurting you. Maybe they're abusive. They don't know that they're abusive in certain ways that could be subtle. It could be certain verbal. It could be whatever it is. Or it could be individual. I know I had a few friends where whenever I go out to eat, me and my family, they want me to pay for them all the time. It's like, I got 4 mouths I'm feeding right now. And this one friend was bold enough to want to eat out of my own plate. I was like, homie, I could have bought you some. So what I'm saying, stuff like that is unhealthy for me. And sometimes I'm very naive at times, you know. And sometimes I overlook that thing. And it's my dude. I love him. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? It's all right. It's all right. And my wife is always in my ear. Babe, you see this dude? He's not right. I'm telling you, babe, watch. I'm like, babe, you don't know. This dude, he got my back. And lo and behold, he stabs me. That's been the story of my life, like crazy. That's why I don't roll with mad dudes. Just me and my wife and my son. We out. My son, we out. You know what I'm saying? No, you don't know me like that, Shane. You know what I'm saying? Not really. But I'm big on relationships. I'm big on restoration. But it takes two to agree. It takes two. The Bible says, how can two walk unless what? They agree. So if you're living in one way and you're going one direction, it's just going to postpone or hold up or delay where I'm really trying to go or where you're trying to go. So there's certain relationships that's just, it's just not, it's just wise. It's not that you hate the individual. It's not that you can't, that you don't want to help the individual, but it's just not good for you and where God is taking you. Does that make sense a little bit? You sure? All right, cool. Go ahead, Evelyn. Number three question. This is number third.
Okay, so I let it go, glory to God, everything. After I let it go, what do I do with my scars and my cold heart and my blissy? Like, how do I patch myself up or help get God to help me?
Nice. Now, with scars, okay, now with scars, scars don't always mean that I'm still struggling with it. You see? It's how you perceive these scars. The scars can be like, oh, I dealt with it. And it gives me a reason to try to overcome, because it serves as a reminder, like, yo, nah, I'm not going to be foolish in this area no more. I'm not going to allow this situation to, you know what I mean, eat me up no more. That's what the scar is really there for. Like my uncle, he got into a crazy accident. You know, he had a sick scar on his head. And, you know, the scar, he wanted it to go away, but it just stayed there. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yo, that's just a reminder of God's faithfulness to you. That's what the you can't look at it like, oh, man, it's making me look ugly. It's messing me up. No, no, no. This thing is symbolic for how God was good to you. You see? So that's how we look at scars. Now, there's more to your question. You said there's more you were saying to your question. Okay. Nice. Yeah. Okay. Well, see, it's not meant for you to patch yourself up. You see? That's why sometimes we get overwhelmed and drained because we feel like we got to help us. We got to do for me. No, you need to surround yourselves around godly people who can pour into you and build you back up. Loving people, people who can restore you. Sometimes we feel like, no, it's just me and Jesus and my Bible. I'm good. Get my little worship music in the car. I don't got a fellowship. No, fellowship actually helps you. You know, there was a story real quick. Am I good on time? We good on time? So there's a story of a man who left his church, and he was on fire when he was at church, when he was in the, you know, the church context and church environment. Everybody with me? So he was on fire when he was rocking with his peoples in church. And then he left church for whatever reason. Maybe it was an offense or whatever. And after he left church, the pastor of the church visited this dude. Like, yo, I ain't seen you in like, you know, a little while now. What's going on? You good? And the pastor gave him an illustration. He said, yo, he said, when you leave, he said, church is like, and the people of God are like, you know, logs in a fire. And it stays, you know what I mean, on fire. We just, you know what I mean, we just, we're burning in the fire. And it's, and you stay lit, hashtag lit, right? And as you stay lit, and once you remove yourself out of that wet one log, remove himself out of that fire and out of that, the full, right? What happens is that fire tends to go out. It can't survive by itself. That makes sense? So it takes two, it takes three, it takes a community of believers to remain lit. Hashtag. I'm telling you. So that's what he told the dude. And lo and behold, the guy was actually dying out. He wasn't reading no more. He wasn't praying no more. He wasn't seeking the will of God no more because he removed himself. In fact, Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 25 or 30, somewhere around there. After 25, just read that. You're going to see it says that don't forsake the assembling of the brethren. Because in the assembling of the brethren, in the fellowship, you stir each other up to good works. You see? So sometimes you're dormant because, and the reason you're dormant is because you don't have anybody else ministering to you. You know, it's good to have the word of God. Yes, you need the word, but you need believers around you pouring in that word and applying that word, helping you apply that word. It makes sense? So we go, so that's how you patch yourself up because the word of God heals. It has healing mechanisms to it. You pray and you read the word. You fast, you read the word. The word, it's the word, the word. The reason we come to church is so we can hear the word. And sometimes the word through song, the word through a testimony, the word through your tithe, the word through, trust me, I got convicted. I got to start going in on my tithe. It's serious. You know what I'm saying? It's that serious. Amen. Amen. That's another topic in itself. Yeah, I got you, God. I'm telling you. But you hear what I'm saying? It's the word. The word. So we need to stay grounded in the word around a community. But that makes sense? We good? We good. All right, cool. Somebody else had a hand up? One more, and we wrapping. Oh, before, okay, 1 second. Before we continue, guys, March 28th, which will be the Let It Go, the official Let It Go conference. We'll be doing this in this conference, and I need you guys to go on Facebook to the Let It Go page and get your tickets. It's only $7 to come to this conference. So we're not really trying to take something from you. We're trying to get something to you. Preachers on TV always say that. You know what I'm saying? All right, that was a good joke, and you guys didn't even laugh. Come on. All right, but I need you guys to come through to this event, all right? It's going to be a blessing. Who's coming? And it's going to be in Brooklyn. In fact, it's going to be at Pendale Church. So who's coming? Y'all not feeling my gangster tonight. What's good? All right, let's go.
Okay. So you're really big on talking to the person, right? What if you let it go without talking to the person? In fear of either if I talk to the person, they might not understand, and you're like, it's just going to be more offensive. Now you're going to offend me again because you ain't getting it. So you're just like, I'm going to let it go. We don't got to communicate type stuff. Yeah.
But does that make sense? Think about it.
Yes.
Real, think about it. Like, if, say for example, your sister, all right, if you had your sister or brother, whatever. Your brother. That's your brother? Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm sure growing up, he did certain things to you that you didn't like. He probably took your I was going to say your Barbie, but I ain't going to do that to you, bro. But he took something, or he probably took the Barbie and ripped the head off. All right, that happened to my sister-in-law, and she still can't get over that right now. All right? Yeah, something simple like that. But you don't just sit there and just say, you know what, this thing, let me just chill because I don't want to offend him. Because that relationship means a lot to you. You see what I'm saying? So that's how you got to look at it. First, you got to view it as how valuable this relationship is in my life. You know what I mean? For me to address it or not. Or I rarely see it done, not to say I'm a genius behind this or the specialist behind it, but it's in order for true forgiveness to take place, it's never done in silence. Now, I guess the question you're asking is more dealing in the context of reconciliation, because reconciliation takes two. It takes two. It's like you come to this individual, and now we come to terms. Okay, it's now we're building a contract again. We're coming back to the whole situation. Now on your end, now you cannot look at it as okay, because now that leans back to enmeshment again, because you're thinking that this person might be offended by what I say, but you don't really know the reality of it.
What if it's more so, I don't want to deal with it. I let it go.
Okay.
We don't got to talk about it. I just let it go. Is that, would you say that's not forgiveness, or is it not healthy forgiveness? Or like, would you say that is?
I hear what you're saying. So this relationship pretty much wasn't a healthy relationship to begin with. So this, but I think it's always wise to share your peace with certain things. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that way, the next time you may see the person 5 years later down the line, and they're still wondering, why you stopped talking to me? Why? Or whatever it is, you see what I'm saying? So sometimes it's good to put closure. All right, for example, prime example, I'm going to give you an example. There was this one dude, one of those dudes who I always had to buy food for, okay? One of those dudes, and not only that, you know what I mean? I'm just a big-hearted person. I bought the dude a coat because he was going through, so I bought him a coat for winter. I mean, some official Sean John. I was like, and I looked at that joint, I was like, I should have rocked that joint myself. You see what I'm saying? So these type of elements, and this person was more like a leech in my life. You see what I'm saying? And what I did was, you know, and my wife was telling me, babe, watch out for this dude right here. You know what I'm saying? And yes, she ended up being right. But the thing is, I was struggling in that area. I was like, you know what? Now I ain't going to answer my calls no more. I'm not going to, you know, he's texting me. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? I'm just going to try to, I'm going to let it go like this. That's how I'm going to deal with it. Trust me, God, you got this one. But earlier in the message, I said that God gave us the ability to cut these ties, all right? The things that's unhealthy, the things that's trying to keep us bound. All right, so what I had to do, I had to build the courage within myself to let him know, like, yo, bruh, listen, I'm not feeling da-da-da-da, whatever. And I let him know where I was hurting. I let him know, listen, I can't rock with you no more. We can't bang on that level, whatever. In your own words, and that's how I dealt with it. From that moment on, he stopped calling me. He tried calling, but I just wouldn't pick up. Because I said my piece already. I said what it was. God, I know this dude was not trying to change. He just was an unhealthy energy around me. And he was a believer. Oh, was he, babe? I don't know. You see my point? So sometimes you have to just say it to bring closure on your end to it. So that way, when he sees you stop talking to him, now it's going to give him now, all right, listen, it's going to make him or her become now, let me say it like this, it's going to give him now an opportunity to start to grow in his social skills or whatever it is that he was messed up in. So sometimes that's tough love. Sometimes that's cool. Sometimes if your parent, you did something wrong, the mom just stopped giving the kids stuff or whatever, or you just stopped talking to the kids or whatever. That's tough love. Just to show them that, listen, you need to learn or grow in this area. You see what I'm saying? So your so that's being wise, and you're trying to do it in a way where that person can grow without you trying to be the teacher or the instructor for him to grow. You see what I'm saying? Because sometimes they got to grow on their own. That makes sense? We good. We good. We Gucci? God bless you. All right, so we good. We good? And any more? No more questions. No more. All right, listen, for the next question, start writing your questions now. In fact, what we're going to do is I want you guys to go to the Let It Go page and start inboxing certain questions that you want us to discuss on. Okay, guys, can we do that, please? In fact, if you haven't liked the Lifelines page, like the page. There's a lot of stuff going on there, all right? The Let It Go Forgiveness campaign is beyond, I'm telling you, God just gave me the thing. I have nothing really literally to do with it. I'm just a conduit. That's it. It's going through. So, and I'm giving you the opportunity to take this message wherever, or God is giving you the opportunity to take this message where it needs to go. Amen. So in order to grow. All right. God bless you guys.
Thank you, Pastor Pat, for that wonderful sermon. I ask everyone please to